Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And we're pleased to welcome back the State Secretary of Commerce, Stephen Pryor. Thank you for joining us.
Ian and Scott, it's great to be back.
Let's start by talking about the I-195 redevelopment district in Providence. Back in February, 195 District Chairman Joseph Azrak told me all the pieces were in place for growth in this district this year.
I think it's really a matter of executing this year, executing on the purchase and sale agreements, executing on getting some of the development started, and really coming up with the facilities to accommodate the indigenous growth.
So, Secretary Pryor, here we are. There are about 4.5 months left in 2016. We really don't see visible signs of progress in the I-195 district. Why not?
That would be unrealistic to see the visible signs in this year. I think what Chairman Azrak was getting at is that you're going to see a lot of motion working with potential developers and end users, and you are seeing that. So the excitement is that we have this Wexford Group, which is Wexford Science and Technology, that is pledged to build hundreds of thousands of square feet of incubator space, hotel space, and affiliated space. We are actively in negotiation with them. There's been no cessation of our negotiations. They are ongoing. They are active. They are happening. So we're very optimistic. And the infrastructure is moving forward. You saw that the bids came back on the very important bridge over the river, and the bids may have come back a bit high, but we're going to resolve that situation and move forward. These are all signs of motion in the right direction.
I'm glad you mentioned the proposal by Wexford Science and Technology. What has to happen for that project to move forward?
We need to reach financial terms. We need to reach terms on the economic incentives that we're going to invest in the project, and we're very far along on that negotiation.
Would you pinpoint when you hope to reach agreement on that?
I wouldn't, because I've been through too many negotiations to do that. It would be unwise, but we're making very, very good progress.
Let's go to Scott.
How much crony capitalism is this going to take, Secretary, with Wexford? How much are we giving them in tax breaks and state money?
I don't think there's a bit of crony in this form of capitalism, and I think it's a wise investment by every account. We know that what's critical about moving our economy forward is investing in advanced industries, industries that pay well, that lean forward, that are based on research and development related to our great universities and medical centers. So having said all that, look, it's going to take a heavy investment to move the first major complex in the 195 corridor forward. It is going to take a heavy investment. And over time, that catalytic investment will yield other development, so it'll be worth it.
38 Studios is once again a hotly debated political issue in Rhode Island. That's after Attorney General Peter Kilmartin declined to release materials from the criminal probe into the failed video game maker. Secretary Pryor, what would you say to this question? For there to be more confidence in the kind of incentives being used by the Commerce Corporation, does there need to be a full accounting of how 38 Studios actually happened?
You know, I think there's been a lot of analysis of 38 Studios. There's been a lot of Sturm und Drang. There's been justifiably a lot of concern expressed and a lot of analysis by multiple authorities. I don't pretend to do the Attorney General's job for him. It's well beyond my purview to question how and when documents are released. I can say that at appropriate times, the governor has taken a position on the issue. She early on was against the transaction. She's insisted that we undertake the kinds of transactions in Rhode Island that are sound. For example, when we invest in companies these days through the Qualified Jobs Program, one of our most popular programs, when we're investing in companies like GE Digital, like Greystone Manufacturing, the jobs have to be created before we pay out, because the income taxes generated by the jobs are the source of the money for the incentive.
We've learned
our lessons, and we are moving forward with economic development.
I hear what you're saying, but there's still a lot of skepticism, if not cynicism, on the part of many Rhode Islanders that the full story has never been told of 38 Studios. Would it be good for economic development in Rhode Island to remove that cloud of suspicion by having a thorough vetting of how this actually came together?
Look, I think that the key elements of what we need to know, we do know, actually. I think we know that this was a bad investment on a pre-revenue company that others had passed up. The kind of due diligence we're doing today at the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation under Governor Raimondo is the kind of due diligence we should be doing. The kinds of structures like these repayments of income taxes generated by the businesses themselves are structural safeguards that ensure that jobs actually get created. We're doing it right. I think we've learned the right lessons.
Would you say we should never have any more moral obligation bonds where the taxpayers don't have the right to vote on it?
I wouldn't make, I'm loath to make across the board kinds of statements about things that we should never have. There are multiple lessons from any transaction that goes bad. I don't think that's the solitary lesson. I think that we ought to be very wise, careful, and strategic with the public dollar.
The Commerce Corporation Board this week approved potential incentives of more than $13 million over the next 10 years for two different companies. The benefits would help General Electric to build a digital technology center in Providence and a British tea and coffee company to create a manufacturing, distribution, research, and development facility at the Quonset Business Park. Secretary, what would you say to those who question whether using these millions of dollars in incentives is better than perhaps putting that same amount of savings into tax relief for citizens or businesses?
What I would say is the vast majority of these dollars wouldn't exist except that these businesses are moving here or expanding here. So these are dollars that don't exist. It's not like we're reaching into the Treasury and pulling out these dollars to fund these businesses. Instead, what we're doing is pledging the dollars that they will generate in the future to them in order to create these business developments in the first place. So GE Digital will create new personal income taxes. We'll pledge them back and pay them back to the company only if they perform, only if they create these jobs in Rhode Island as a big portion of our investment in them, similar to with many of the other transactions that we're seeing. And we should pause for a moment and say to ourselves, GE Digital, one of the most important companies in the United States of America, GE, which was founded in part by Thomas Edison, which was one of the first 12 companies on the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the only one that still exists on the Dow. This company, which sees its future as a digital industrial company, is investing in Rhode Island. And we're in the right way pledging the revenue they're going to generate back to them to create that new corporate complex. That's a wise investment. And Finlay, one of the world's most important tea and coffee companies, which acquired the great Rhode Island company, Autocrat, is coming to Rhode Island with a brand new pilot plant and more and doing advanced manufacturing. These are the kinds of investments we should be making.
You're still, however, picking losers and winners and using public money to push that. And a lot of people just wonder, states all over the country are throwing money at companies to move there. And Rhode Island's a small state. Is this just a race to the bottom? Are they just going to grab money that should be going to education, for instance?
Well, we can't afford, Scott, is to get out of the game and sit on the sidelines while other states go at it, while other states eat our lunch. Across the board, we're making the business climate better for Rhode Island in a variety of ways, not picking winners and losers in this sense.
Except you are.
We've killed altogether, thanks to the leadership of Governor Raimondo and legislative leaders, the energy tax on business, the consumption tax on energy, gone. We've reduced unemployment insurance by $30 million, thanks to the governor's leadership and the partnership with the General Assembly. We have eliminated 30 unnecessary professional licenses. We're hacking away at the things that make Rhode Island less competitive. On top of that, we are wisely pledging new revenue generated by businesses back to them to enable us to compete for those businesses. And you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, we're competing and winning. For the first time in recent memory, we're actually getting a nice stream of businesses coming into Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Secretary of Commerce, Stephen Pryor.
Thank you, Ian and Scott. Appreciate it.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.